as if you needed to be told. That was Go West from the Village People. Now, Tracy Sinovas-Prosser has been on the show before speaking about business events on behalf of the Perth Convention Bureau, but now she's moved across to the leisure tourism sector as CEO of Destination Perth. Tracy speaks to Graham Kemlow about Perth's plans to entice East Coasters and international visitors to Go West.
She switched teams. She's jumped, she's batting for the other side. Trace, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, hey, Graham. I'm not sure about batting for the other side. I'd like to think we're all on the same team.
Oh, I'm sure you are, but you've now gone leisure, whereas you used to be business focused.
You've got it. Yeah, absolutely. I'm working now for Destination Perth. Mm-hmm. So Destination Perth is the RTO, the region's tourism organisation, promoting the lovely area that is the CBD and the surrounding areas of our city.
Right.
And so, yes, to leisure.
Yeah, and you've also got a lesser area than you used to have, because even though you were Perth Convention Bureau, you were effectively West Australia Convention Bureau, weren't you?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah, PCB, Perth Convention Bureau, actually promotes the whole state, whereas my remit now is somewhat more focused on Perth and the surrounding areas.
Right. So how does Perth go against the other states in terms of its performance with leisure tourists?
Yeah, hey, that's a really good question. And before we spoke, I was just actually looking at the visitor figures that came out of the National Visitor Survey. So for international visitors, we're up about 1% on the same period last year. So that's not doing too bad for international. Domestic, up 4.8%. So the unfortunate thing is against the other states internationally, I think we're not doing as well. Certainly the East Coast is up 7-8%. I think Tasmania is doing pretty well in that field, so we've got some catch up to play, but domestically doing pretty well.
But I guess you've got the advantage of having that Asian connection that the other states don't necessarily have. You've sort of direct connections into Singapore, Malaysia, China. And of course you've now got your fast flight to London. Is that making a difference?
Absolutely. That flight's coming in and out chock-a-block. So I think we could do with another one of those, to be fair.
And are you bringing people from the East Coast to Perth for a couple of days and then on to London? Or how's it working out?
There's an element of that, but that visit would be post-Perth. It would come to Perth first, and then go on to Melbourne and then on to LA. That's the route that aircraft takes. So there is a little bit of opportunity for travel between here and Melbourne, so absolutely. But the key focus of that is, of course, the UK-Europe market. You know, Perth has a huge, huge British and European contingency. So if we're going to target the really popular VFR market, that's the best way to do it, is having a direct flight from London.
What's VFR, Trace?
Visiting friends and relatives.
It's a
new term I've become very familiar with in leisure. So VFR for us is absolutely huge, because I think you'll probably find something like one in four residents is a migrant, and in most towns that can be a lot higher. I live in the northern suburbs, and I would say 30% of the people that live in that suburb are British, including myself.
Well, I can tell, listening hard to accents. No,
absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's all great. Your percentage of domestic versus international, what?
Yes and no. So looking at the figures for last year, 1.4 million domestic versus just under a million international.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's better than I thought you'd be doing. Just the tyranny of distance doesn't play to your advantage way over there, does it?
No, I would say yes and no. In as much as Australia is still very an attractive proposition for most people looking for an international holiday, and certainly for us targeting UK, Europe and Asia, you know, we're really a hop, skip and a jump. So certainly for Asia, we're only 5 hours away and nearest landmass to them. So international travel as it is, all of a sudden becomes something you could almost do in a half day to get to Australia.
It's going to be great when the aircraft go faster.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd like that to happen tomorrow, of course, as well as a whole influx of new airline services from new destinations would be amazing. And only recently, our minister was up in India promoting to various airlines the opportunity to bring direct services here into Perth, which we're really hopeful for, as that's a huge potential market for us.
So you've just come back from India, though, haven't you?
Yes, it was a whistle-stop tour, Graham. I flew in at midnight on a Saturday and I left at midnight on a Wednesday. So I didn't get to see much of the country. What I did see was absolutely awesome. But the exciting thing about India is the opportunities for India as a growing market. So their GDP was up 7.2%, and this year is expected to grow 7.5 and 7.8 the year after, which is actually higher than China.
Well, we definitely see evidence in all states of growth in inbound Indian visitors. The middle class is rising and touring. We've spoken with our correspondent over there on a couple of occasions about some of the change that's occurring, and it's all up. It's all going north, not south.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So 3.6 million people will take a luxury trip abroad every year. And that's not just people just traveling for an hour or two. This is those that are spending in the thousands. That's 3.6 million. But by 2025, they estimate that 13.9 million estimated leisure departures from India, which is, pretty cool. The exciting thing about India is, we were showing a slide while we were up there from an economist, which shows, the 100,000 independent villages there are across India that still don't have water or power, but 1 billion has a phone network.
Oh, right. Well, it's all mobile, is it?
Everything's mobile, so the way that they book everything is online, and they actually are eating up so much information about other destinations all over the world, and they are growing and they are traveling.
So are you pitching, obviously you're pitching to India, but where else are you looking to grow your international visitation from?
Well, look, at the moment, India's not our biggest market. It actually comes in around number eight. Our biggest international market by far is UK. And again, that reverts back to what I was saying about VFR. And then, of course, because of proximity, Malaysia, Singapore. So, we're looking to uphold our strengths in those markets, but maybe see a bit more growth out of, USA, New Zealand. And, of course, China is always on the radar.
Is South Africa a market for you? Because there's certainly a lot of South Africans who have made a home in Perth.
Yeah, yes, it is a market, but it's not up there for us. It's still only ranked 15 across all the international markets. But yes, we have a growing South African population. So again, that ranking of 15, I'm sure, would be VFR market, would be those visiting their relatives.
Right. Now, obviously, your big market day to day is domestic. Why would people from the East Coast want to come to Perth? What can you sort of lure them over the Nullarbor with?
That's a really, really good question. I think first we've got to change perceptions about Perth, that A, it's too far, B, it's too expensive, and C, they won't see anything new. So let's look at those three points. Is it too far? Well, no, we're actually only 2.5 hours from Adelaide, 4 hours from Melbourne if you're flying, and those flights are getting more competitive all the time. Is it affordable? Absolutely it is. It's probably the most affordable destination in the whole of Australia right now.
You mean largely in terms of the cost when you get there, or airfares always seem to be an issue across the Perth?
Hey, look, the airfares are still up there, but they're becoming more competitive.
Right.
But when you are on the ground in Perth, you're going to get bang for buck.
Right.
With 12 new hotels, another 4 under construction, the supply and demand issue that we had 2 or 3 years ago has ceased, and we now have an oversupply. That's brought the cost of hotel accommodation down significantly, making us the most affordable destination in Australia to visit from a hotel accommodation perspective right now. And we've got brand new, beautiful 5-star hotels.
You
so not only are you getting a good bargain, you're getting great quality.
Yeah.
And then let's look at the other thing. Let's look at the weather. Now, hey, that is something that people consider when they're taking a trip.
What's it like there today, Trace?
Today, let me just have a look out my window today, and bearing in mind it's the last day of winter, it's a fairly pleasant but slightly overcast 20 degrees out there. But, hey, we're still in winter.
Yeah. It wouldn't be 20 here, and it's definitely overcast. So I think you win. I think you win on the weather.
Well, certainly we do. We have more hours per sunshine than any other city in Australia.
Okay. Well, and it's a big, wide city. There's plenty of room to move around, whether it's by road or by river. The Swan's a great highway, in a sense, for people who want to go down to Frio or out to Rocknest Island. What are the number one, well, maybe what are the top three things that people tend to do in Perth as visitors, Tracy?
Sure. Well, let's assume that you're time poor when you're coming to Perth and you've got a few days to cram in as much as possible. That's again where Perth really wins, because we have so many natural assets right on our doorstep. So, you know, when I was up in India and I was asked to explain the difference between Sydney, Melbourne, Perth and the Gold Coast, that was easy, you know. Sydney's got the Harbour Bridge, it's got the Opera House. Melbourne's got fantastic shops and bars and a great hospitality scene. Gold Coast has got theme parks, which the Indians all love. Mm. But I said to them, think of Perth as nature's theme park. We have beautiful natural assets. So you can come into Perth, enjoy that beautiful weather, enjoy those affordable hotels, but hop across to Rottnest Island. It'll take you 35 minutes and you'll find yourself in this most unique, beautiful climate with no cars, lots of natural beautiful assets like the amazing ocean that's clear blue to swim in, and the only thing that you're likely to be hit up by is a quokka. You know, that's fantastic. Or yeah. You can drive 25 minutes to be in the Swan Valley, our wine region. It's the closest wine region to a capital city in Australia. So you would absolutely go out to the Swan Valley and enjoy yourself with one of the 150 different boutique wineries, breweries, cheese factories, chocolate factories, nougat factories. There's something for everybody out there. So Swan Valley, Rottnest Island, absolute assets. And of course, Fremantle. Who doesn't want to go to Fremantle and wander along the Cappuccino Strip or buy yourself something in an artisan market? Again, 30 minutes away. Within 30 minutes, you've got so much choice.
Yeah. You know, I think you guys have been keeping all those things secret. You used to just go yourselves to Rottnest for an annual holiday. You never told us about it. The Swan Valley you've kept yourselves. You've got the two oldest wineries in the country and no one's telling anyone about it. And what was the third one? Frio. Well, Frio. After the America's Cup, we forgot about Frio. But, yeah, I was there just a few weeks ago, a month ago maybe, and I love it. I think it's a terrific destination. In fact, I gave you a good tip on a breakfast place, didn't I?
You absolutely did, and I haven't been there yet, but it's on my radar. That's the trouble with Perth. We've got so many great restaurants and bars. Which one do you go to first? But, yeah, you're right. Frio is like a living museum itself with so many beautiful historic buildings and a really nice ambience around the whole city, as well as, the fantastic Cappuccino Strip. And like you say, you can find yourself a supersonic breakfast.
You can indeed. How are you going to get your message across, apart from talking to people like me?
Good question. So we run a series of seasonal campaigns. We have a regular winter and summer campaign that largely is digital, but we have lots of really super special offers on our website. So right. We run a monthly Offer Me Perth campaign where you can go on board and get a fantastic deal in a hotel. But, yeah, I would say check out our website. It's our number one asset. 1.7 million people a year visit the website to get information as to what to do and how to do it here in Perth. But in addition to that, we run several social media campaigns, obviously utilizing Facebook, YouTube and Instagram throughout the year, and most of those have competitions linked to them, which can give you some really super value offers for Perth.
What's the web address, Tracy?
www.experienceperth.com.
After listening to that interview with Tracy Sidivas-Prosser, who is speaking to Graham Kemlow, I think everybody will be wanting to go to Perth to visit.
She's a good salesman, isn't she?
Oh, she's terrific, but she makes me want to go there instantly.
Great. It's worth a visit. You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.